If I fell asleep while I'm preaching, forgive me. Because last night I'm not having any sleep. You know, last night I was preaching to my congregation in India through Skype. Yeah, through Skype, you know, we've been preaching the wonderful sermon. I've been able to talk to my congregation in India, one of the churches. So I went to bed very late night, and God woke me up again at 5 o'clock. Get ready for the message. I know that today I'm preaching at Bethel Temple. I know that. I know that. Though the schedule is not there because I have to go to some other church. But God has told me that this is the church you're preaching. God has a purpose and plan. I know that before. And I'm preparing the word for this church. Thank God for that. Let's give a glory clap offering to Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. Amen. I got married to a wonderful and a beautiful wife for the last 18 years, being with only one wife. That's good. And that should be. And you know, I met my wife. This is like arranged marriages. We don't date or we don't have, you know, love affairs. It's like arranged marriages. Parents will arrange a marriage. Parents will look for a bride, for a groom. So that's how they looked for me. And I had an opportunity to talk with my wife before marriage for 5 minutes. That's the only time. How could you know a person within 5 minutes and get married and live my rest of my life with that one? No, it's very hard. But that's what, within 5 minutes, I was talking with her. She could understand me. I could understand her. And from that day onwards, we are living together after the marriage for the last 18 years. After I go back, I'm going back on 11th of July. And I'll be reaching India on 13th of July. But my marriage anniversary is on 16th of July. We are feeding nearly 700 people. And it's a big celebration. Because that's the marriage anniversary. We have started the orphanage. So it's an orphanage anniversary too. And that's the anniversary for the church at Velaturu. Actually, the Velaturu, one of the churches in one of the villages, has been started in the same day. So it's a 3 anniversary days. One, my marriage anniversary. 2, my church anniversary of one of the church. And the third one is important, is orphanage anniversary. So you're going to feed 700 people, and that's my marriage anniversary. So why I'm saying this, you know, I met my wife 5 minutes, and I'm living with her, you know, for my rest of my life. And the second person I met is your pastor, Jamie. It was only 5 minutes that we two became a best friends, and I thank God, I thank for my friend BG, who really helped me to meet this wonderful man. Thank God. It's God's plan, divine plan. I have a mother in United States, West Virginia. And thank God for that. I lost my mother. My mother is no more here. My mother went to the Lord, and God has given me a mother in United States. And my mother is none other than Joanne's. Praise God. She takes care of me so much, you know. I just remember my mother. She feeds me, not only, you know, she takes care of my dress. Did your shirt got iron? Pant got iron? Who is going to take care of that unless your mother? That's the mother which God has given. Thank you, Joanne, once again. So, I thank God for, you know, wonderful opportunity to meet wonderful folks in this wonderful church, Bethel Temple. I thank God for a wonderful divine, you know, meeting that to meet your pastor. And also we could spend not only in the spiritual things, you know, because we've been, this is my third time coming to Bethel Temple. Praise God for that. Praise God. Third time I'm preaching in Bethel Temple. See, this how much I'm connected with this church. And I extended my invitation to your pastor and also to all the church members. If you want to come talk with your pastor and come to India, you're welcome. And SCC Ministries is your church. Bethel Temple is my church. We all together, you know. This is like a family. Because church doesn't belong to anyone. It's God's church. And we are doing God's ministry. And it is His folks. Because we did not buy, we did not purchase, you know, the souls. God has purchased souls by shedding His precious blood. And He has entrusted the job to be a pastor and be a good shepherd, and He is the chief shepherd that we have to be accountable to. Praise God for a wonderful shepherd we have. I also thank, you know, Jamie, because not only in the spiritual manner, every Thursday, every Friday we have been meeting, you know, and these meetings, beside all these things, He invited me to come, you know, to spend one day completely relaxation, talking from our hearts. So I, myself and Jamie, both just, we were alone together, spending time, talking to each other. And we went to, what is that, Black Waterfalls and Bear Rock. We enjoyed playing on Bear Rock. You know, I was there on a big rock and taking pictures. And he told me, this is my second visit to Bear Rock and Black Waterfalls. The first visit with my wife and the second visit with you. So I am so special in his life and he is so special in my life. Thank God for that. I have a word for this church. I told Jamie about the pastor, Jamie about that. I'm going to read for you. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. And 3. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many people will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways so that we may walk in His path. And this is the promise which God is going to be fulfilling in the days to come in this temple. That's what God spoke to me from the Bible, that come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways. This is the place that been taught God's ways. And the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. I believe that surely many will be coming in this church. Many will be coming. It will be jam-packed of people next time I'm going to visit this church. Amen. Praise God. Those who believe, let us stand up and give a glory clap to Lord Jesus Christ. Those who believe in God. Those who believe. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. I believe it. I believe that they will be jam-packed and people will be coming to learn God's word in this church. And then you're going to learn His ways. And He's going to teach us His word in this temple. In this temple. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you very much. I don't know how much long I'm going to preach. Because Pastor Jimmy was saying that lunchtime will be at 2 o'clock. So in India we go for a long sermon. So 1.5 hours. I'm not going to do that. Don't be worried. Okay. Happy Father's Day. Me too. I'm a father too. Today is Happy Father's Day. And I was asking God, Lord, teach me what to be preached. So I was preparing the sermon last day, yesterday. And today morning, got up at 5 o'clock, preparing till I come, you know, from 8:30 till 8:30, 8 o'clock. I was working on my sermon. And God told me to talk about, you know, Father's Day. What do you want me to talk, Lord? We all want to be a good father. But who is a wonderful example for us to be a wonderful father? The perfect father in this whole world is the Father in heaven. And we have to follow his footsteps, you know, to become a true and good father. Our Father is a wonderful father, awesome father, perfect father. And we have to follow his footsteps to be an example in this world, to be a wonderful man, to the wonderful fathers, to be wonderful leaders in the society, in the environment, in our country, in our places where God has put, in our families. We have to take an example that from our God. Let's open our Bibles to see the perfect Father. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 till the end of the chapter. We're going to read that. We're going to learn something from this chapter. It's a parable of the lost son, the prodigal son. Jesus continued, there was a man who has two sons. The younger one said to the father, maybe I have to get the spectacles, you know, I'm becoming older. Yeah, I could not see, okay. The younger one said to the father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that world, in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to the citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. My dear brothers and sisters, let's see a wonderful father in this story. A father, you know, a man has two children. The younger son comes and asks his father, give me my portion. You know, here the father resembles our heavenly father. And the two sons resembles the two kind of people in the church or in this world. And one person is a rebellious person, another person is a religious person. My question today, both of these children, did they make their father happy? Was his father happy of these two sons? One son was so rebellious, he wanted his father's property. Give me my share. The elder son will be getting 2/3 of the portion. The younger son will be cutting 1/3 of the portion. So he's asking, give me my share. I'm going to get out from here. I want my freedom. I want to be independent. I want to live my life as I want. I just want to go far away from you. I don't want to be accountable to you. I don't want you to be control of my life. I don't want your commandments. I don't want to listen to your commandments. He was so, you know, in arrogance that he wanted to leave his father and get away from his father. His father was so kind. He gave his portion. He gave him, you know, Father, give me my share of estate. So he divided his property between them. So this man took whatever he owns. He gathered everything and set off to a distant country. Why distant? Because he don't want to be near to his father. He just want to get out from his father, go away from his father, live his own life. I don't want to be controlled by anyone. I want to live my life as I like. Many of the people live like this. They want not anyone to be interfering in their life. They want their life to be controlled by themselves rather than controlled by God. They want to do their own will rather than doing God's will. We have to surrender ourselves to do God's will rather than doing our will. Even Jesus, you know, came to this world and submitted himself and said, "Let thy will be done." It's very important. Sometimes we are so anxious to have our will to be done. What I want, what I think should be happening. But we forget about what God's plan in our life. What is God's will in our life? Maybe God's will is to go to some persecutions. Yes, Lord. Maybe God's will in our life is go through some troublesome problems. Okay, Lord. Maybe God's will in our life is to suffer for God. Are we ready for that? Maybe God's will is for us to die for Him. Are we ready for that? Sometimes, you know, we think God's will is everything means good happens. If something bad happens, maybe this is not God's will, we think. No. God has a purpose for us. Are we submitting ourselves into the hands of God so that He can use you and me in a mighty way as He likes? He has a purpose for you and for me, and that's the reason He shed His precious blood on the cross of Calvary so that you can have life. He died so that you can have life. He has shed His blood. He has given His life so that He has a purpose in your life. What an awesome God. What an awesome Father. What a wonderful Father. We have a perfect Father, which we can be an example by seeing our Father in our lives. This young man, gone to a distant place. He don't want to be closer to his father. He want to live his own life. Disobeyed his father. Arrogant. You know, he was just, you know, asking his father, when does the father's share come? After the father's death. But he wants the portion before his father died. So that means in his heart, his father is dead. He wants to live, you know, the life which he likes. So he's living in the life of sin. What happened? Everything what he had was been spent. He spent everything. There was a severe famine in the whole country and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to the citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. You know, sometimes we go very far away from God. Sometimes we do the jobs which are not for us. Because we do that since we are not surrendering ourselves to the Almighty God. So, 17th verse. When all these things happen, he has nothing to eat. He longed to fill his stomach. In the 16th verse, he longed to fill his stomach with parts that the pigs were eating. It's the food for pigs. It's not the food for the human beings. And the parts cannot be, digested by our human stomach. But he wanted to eat it because that's a lot of famine. India is a big country of 1.2 billion people. But you know, many of them do not have food to eat. The maximum salary for a daily labor is $8 per day. It's not $8 per hour. And you know, the provisions and everything are the same. I see here, go to the Walmart, the Pepsi or the Coca-Cola, the 1 liter or 2 liters bottle, which is like $1 for you, is the same in India. Everything. is the same, the price. But the salaries or the payments or the daily wages are so less. Even the gas price is the same. People are suffering. They have to go work the whole day and get $8. With that $8, $2 they're going to spend for the rice, another $2 for the firewood, $2 for, you know, the kerosene or the gas or the stove or the firewood for them to cook. And they have to feed themselves, the children, the parents. The parents also will be living with the older parents there to look after the wife, the children. Sometimes they have to go to bed without eating. It's the poorest of the poor area we are serving the ministry in. I can examine this man, you know, was in a beautiful stage when he was with his father. Now he leaves his father and there's a famine. You know, famine means it's a desperate situation. In the famine, if they don't have anything to eat, they will eat the sandals too. That's the famine. They don't have anything to eat, they eat the animals, the raw animals. If the animals also, dead animals, if that's also not, they're going to eat the human beings too. Kill their children. That's the famine. He did not have anything to eat. He wanted to eat the food of the pigs, the pots. But he could not get that. 17th verse says, when he came to the census, he said, how many of my father's hired servant have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. That's wonderful. When he came to his census, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? He is now thinking about his father. How many of us really thinking about our father? Our father is a great father. How great is my God? How great is my father? Did you ever think about how much great your father is? He got into census thinking that, oh, my father is so great that my father has so much that even the hired servants are having so much. Why can't I go? He's thinking about his father's greatness in his poverty, in his situations he's going through. He's thinking about his father's greatness. Today is Father's Day. Let us recognize our Father in heaven. How great my Father is. If you recognize how great he is, you will move forward to do great things and mighty things for his glory and his honor. Amen. Amen. Let's give a big hand to Lord Jesus. He's a great God. He's a great Father. When you think about his greatness, you will move with confidence. You will move with boldness. You move with courageous to do mighty things because my Father is great. That's how we do the ministry. We have nothing, but we have everything in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. How great is my God? If you recognize how great my God is, you move forward in confidence, in faith, in boldness, in courage to do mighty things. Just remember the story at the Red Sea. The people are just grumbling, quarreling, murmuring, complaining, fighting against the man of God. Why did you bring here? You want to build here for us the burial ground? You want to build us here the funeral homes? What are you going to do with us? Why did you bring? It is better to serve the Egyptians. Why did you bring here? They were just yelling at him, shouting at him. They're ready to kill Moses too. That's the trend of the people of Israel, people of God.
Instead of thinking how great my God is, they just experienced in Egypt 10 miracles with Jesus, with God has done. They've just seen that. But now they grumble. Why? Because every time we forget to recognize how great is my God. How great is my Father. When you fail to recognize, that's the problem. Satan will attack you. My dear brothers and sisters, but there was only one man named Moses. What did he say? Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. Moses answered to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today." Today. The Egyptians you see today will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Praise God. Give a glory clap to Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful statement. What a confidence. What a boldness to approach the people. Are we having that kind of boldness in our Lord Jesus Christ? To stand for our God. Saying about greatness of our God. God was so happy when Moses was talking about God. God is so pleased. That's what we have to do. We have to please God. We have to make our God happy. Not going far away from God. Not doing our will rather than doing God's will. Not living in our pleasures and sinful desires, but living for His glory and His honor and His work. What happened? This man, when he stood for God, when he is boldly declaring how God, how great my God is, how great the Father is, you know, you see, you know, do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. What kind of bold statement? Why saying the Lord will fight for you? You don't need to do anything. You don't need to swim and go and cross the Red Sea. You don't need to build a boats or a ships to cross the Red Sea. You don't need to have, you know, what's called the bridge, a big bridge. You don't need to build a big bridge to cross the Red Sea. But you know what happened? What happened? When God has heard Moses saying, God told Moses, come on, I'm going to give you the chance, man. You divide the sea. You put your hand up. So what happened? God has made a national highway on the sea. Big national highway where the people could go. Praise God. Give a glory clap to Lord Jesus Christ. There was a highway, never seen a highway made in just one night. Can you make a highway in one night? Even though we have so many equipments? No, but God has made an highway in just one night. What a great God I serve. What a great God you serve. Our God, our Father is so great. Just think about the greatness of our Father. Today is the Father's Day. Remember, my Father is great. You talk about my Father is great. We serve a Father who is so great. And let our children say, but our Father is great. Our spiritual fathers are great. We have three fathers, you know, in this earth. The Father who gave birth to us. The Father who fed us, who nourished us in the Word of God. Who helped us. That's a spiritual Father. We have a Heavenly Father. Don't forget about the fathers. Respect the fathers. Honor the fathers. How great is my Father? How great. Even when they saw the big man called, you know, the Goliath. Goliath. What happened? All were in terrible fear. They ran away. The soldiers ran away. The king was also in fear. No one could stand the huge giant man called Goliath. But there was a young man. What's his name?
David. What did he do? 1 Samuel 17 verse 37. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. The Lord who rescued me will help me. And I know how great my God is. When you know the greatness of God, you can see the miracles of God in your life. Praise God. Praise God for that. How great my God. My dad is, my physical dad who gave me birth was no more here in this earth. But I can say even my physical dad is great dad. Because he followed the footsteps of the Heavenly Father. I can say my dad is a great dad. Because you know, in this ministry, my dad was the fundful donor to help me to move forward. He was supporting me in the work of the Lord because he knows whose work I'm doing. He was being asked by God when we are doing the ministry in the slums of the poorest of the poor. We did not have a church. We were worshiping on the roads. Street light was my fed light. I was starting preaching about God. People started coming. Many thieves, robbers in that area, chain snatchers, persecuted prostitutes, murderers gave their life to the Lord. They're coming to the church, but we don't have a church. One day my father came to see the ministry, what I'm doing. He was really impressed. God told him to put his house in mortgage, and with that money, he could give me to buy a property, a piece of land. We had a piece of land, but we did not have a building in that. We don't know how to construct that. We don't have money for that. We looked unto the Lord. Lord told me, get the sticks, the bamboo sticks. We got the bamboo hood, and we made a hut with the leaves. And that was the first church in 1993. It's a thatched house. It's a hut. And that house has, that's a sanctuary. The sanctuary should be, you know, changed 5 times because the crowd, the people are been flooding in. The people are flooding in. You know the promise which I told to this church? Isaiah chapter 2 verse from 2 and 3. That was the promise given to our church. I tell you the promise that you talk about this promise to this church too. I never spoke in any other churches about this promise, but God told me to speak that promise in this church because that promise will be fulfilled in the days to come very soon in this church. Now our churches are jam-packed with people, flowing of people. We have now 7 churches in India with Jawara, and it's a jam-packed of nearly 1,000 congregations everywhere. People, people, people. And that's how the ministry has been established. Afterwards, my dad came with my mother to live with me in that hut, in that poor environment, in the slums where their snakes used to come in my house. Stinky atmosphere. They're not used to that. But they came because they just, you know, know that Jesus came to this world leaving everything in heaven and coming to the poorest of the poor, and the manger, he was lying down in the manger. When Jesus can do that, we can do that. That's how they dedicated. My father and mother left everything and came with me to live with me in the slums, in the poorest of the poor, in the hut for nearly 4 years. How great is my dad too. My dad is not here in this world, but my dad is with heaven, in heaven with Lord Jesus Christ. He's a wonderful man. He's happy with the wonderful God over there. He's living there with my dad. My dad is living with my heavenly dad. What a wonderful privilege. What a wonderful privilege. Finally, you know, my dad, after living 4 years in that slums, in that hut, in that small asbestos roof. After that, we built an asbestos sheet with an asbestos muddy room. We lived in 1 bathroom. We shared 4 people. 1 bathroom. 1 room. We used to sleep on the floor, without mattress. We thought, you know, we left everything. Whatever money we got, we used to give to the poor people. We had to feed the people. The money we used to feed the people who come to the church, because they're the poorest of poor. And the people are also very faithful. In their small portion of the rice, they don't have nothing to give the tithes or offering. But they are faithful in giving their tithe in their rice. Because they eat that rice, they bring the handful of rice to the church as a sacrifice, as a, you know, tithe and offering to give it to the Lord. One day my dad, my Lord spoke to my dad saying that, go and sell your property and possessions and give it to the church. As the Jesus spoke to the rich young man, the rich young man did not listen. But my dad has obeyed what God has told and sold all his property. And not even a single pie he has stored for himself. But he rather gave every penny to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how for the last 24 years we are serving the Lord in the God's, you know, wonderful way. You know, we built like 4 or 5 churches over there with the building structures. Still we don't have two churches. We are still on the outside worshiping on the roads still. But praise God, with the money which God has provided to through my dad, we could build some churches, we could establish the ministry, we could buy the equipment, you know, we could buy some van for the ministry over there. And that van became so old, God provided. You know, God is so awesome. God, our God is so great. Our Father is so great. We serve a great Father and a great God. Praise God. Give him once again a glory clap to Lord Jesus Christ. This man, 17th verse, got to his senses. My father has so many servants and they have nice good food to eat. Let me go. So he thought about his greatness of his father. Then he comes. Then he says, 18th verse, I will set out to go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no worthy, no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. Our father is a friendly father. Praise God. Our father is so friendly. This man thought that I can talk to my father as a friend. I can go and talk to my dad and say, I have messed up with my life, Lord. I have messed up, friend. And he thought that he's got a good access with his dad. And he believed in, and he had faith that my dad will accept me. And my dad will accept me. Surely believe. He is friendly dad, so that I can tell everything what is in my heart. I can say sorry to my dad. He is a wonderful dad who is so friendly. This Father's Day, let us recognize our God is so great. Our Father is so great. He's a great God. He's a great Father. And not only that, He's a friendly God. He's a friendly Father. I no more call you the servants. That's what Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 15. I'm not going to call you servants, but from this day, I call you my friends. You are my friend. He is my friend. I talk to him every day. Morning, I get up every morning, you know, 5 o'clock. And I'm in India, you know, I get up and go to my terrace on the top, you know, and there is a gate and I just open the gate. And you know what I'm talking, what I'll talk, what I'll start. Good morning, Jesus. That's the way I talk with my God. Good morning. Good morning, Jesus. How are you? Then I start praying, talking to him as a friend. I talk to him as a friend. Before coming to United States, I talked with him every day. And coming to United States, I talked to him every day. Whether I am in any place of the world, I just talk and spend time with him because he's my friend. Are we talking to God on a regular basis? Are we spending time in his presence? We don't have time.
We have time for eating. We have time for sleeping. We have time for doing our work. We have time for everything. But we don't have time to spend a valuable time and a wonderful time with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Are you available to God? People think prayer means I come to God and pray. No. God wants to come to you and talk to you. That's prayer. When Adam has messed up in his life, you know, Adam has disobeyed God. It is not Adam who went to God and asked for forgiveness. Lord, he did not pray, but God came and God called unto Adam. He wanted to talk with Adam. He wanted to spend time with the person. Even though he messed up in his life, even though he was disobedient, even though he was rebellious, you know, he just wanted to talk to that person. That's the grace of my Father. That's the love of my Father. But my question, are you willing to give the time to him to spend time? If your president, Obama, calls me and says, Pastor Rajendra, I want to talk to you. Will I say no? If I say no, I'm a fool. Why? That man wants to talk to an unworthy person from India? And he wants to spend some time with me? Can I say no? I say yes. I'm available. I can make a schedule. When do you want me to come? I want to spend time with you. Sure. But it is not Obama or President Obama or President of United States or President of India is calling you. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Want to spend some time with you. Are you ready to spend some time with him? Then you can know his mind. Prayer is not asking all petitions. Put the petitions. Lord, give me. Jesus, what is this man always asking? Give me. Fellowship, it's a fellowship. You talk with your wife, what do you talk with your wife? You talk with your husband, what do you talk with your husband? If she got married, you know, if you got married, you know, your wife always talks to, when you're going to buy for me a gold necklace? Okay, I'm going to buy. When you're going to give me nice sandals? When you're going to buy for me a good gold ring? When you, every time you speak, only asking and giving, begging. This man will be fed up. What is this girl always asking me? It's not always you ask, you know. It's a fellowship. It's a friendship. Spending time with the Almighty God. Our God is so wonderful. He's a friendly God. He's, you know, he's a friendly Father. He asked for forgiveness. He said that I'm going to go and ask my Father for forgiveness. Let's read 20th verse. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. What a father he is. He's a loving father. Praise God. He's a loving father. He's not only a great father. He's not only a friendly father. He's a great. He's a loving father. What a loving father. See, people think when you come to Jesus, ask for forgiveness of your sins and repent for your sins, then Jesus will love you. No, he did not ask for repentance. He was just on his way to come to his father. Did you see that? He was just on his way to come to his father. He did not say sorry to his father. He did not say, I messed up in his life. Sorry, Lord. Sorry, my dad. He never said anything. He never spoke anything. But he just took a moment, took a time to come to his father back. Just when he came to his father, what happened? His father saw him, moved with compassion. He just ran. Father running, big man running, you know, rich man running. You never see that kind of postures. But this man running with a big robe, you know, he was running like people are being, you know, fooling. What this man is doing? Because he have to pull out his robe like this for running like this, you know. And that makes, you know, ashamed. He's just pulling off his robe. In an Arabic culture, no one will show their legs. Showing the legs is a shameful thing for them. And that's the reason they cover the whole body, including the legs. So legs, showing the legs is an ashamed thing for them. And they don't show the legs. But what this father was doing, he pulled up his gown and he was running to meet his son who is coming back to the home. What a loving father. His father saw him from a long distance and he moved with compassion. Oh, what a wonderful. He ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and kissed him. He threw his arms around him and kissed him. And you know, he's smelling like a filthy one. He did not take bath. He is with the pigs. He was with the pigs and he was smelling like anything. But his father never bothered about what is smelling. He was just kissing him like anything. That's the love of my father. Whether you know you're a sinner, you messed up with your life, nothing is good in your life, nothing is better in your life, but still God loves you so much and he loves you, he cares you, he hugs you. He's a man of compassion. Ah, he's a God of compassion. Because his heart is for his children. I can think about how God loves you. Because one day, one man has really cheated me when I was in the ministry. We never got any kind of foreign support or any kind of foreign persons meeting us from 1993 till 2007. 2007 was the first time I've come to Canada for an international prison fellowship conference, because I work in prisons. And that's a Jack Carson has called me. He was no more right now. So 2003, I was not having any fellowship, but I was being used in different places. One man, that's the first time emails have come. And we were using the emails at the time. I get an email. We want to support your ministry. We want to give you this much. We want to give you, a van for the ministry. And we want to give you the computers for your students. Because your church has so many students. We want to have a training center. This was a fake letter. But Christians have a weak mentality of believing everyone. So we believed in him. He fooled us. He took us to make a sure shot to the Mumbai, which is a big red alert area. It's a big city of nearly 4 million people or 5 million people. I don't know, more than that, maybe 10 million. Everywhere you see people. He took me there. So I, my wife, my brother, brother's wife, my dad, my mom, everyone went in a train. This man has cheated like anything, you know. We took the money because he said, the computers are there, but it is in the customs. You have to get some money to release that. And we believed in him. He wanted to give computers to the church. And he said the computer cost is so less that it is only very much little. But at that point of time, it is also a few hundred dollars, $1,000. It may be like $5,000 to $6,000. At that time we don't have money, but we borrowed money because he is going to give for the ministry. What happened, this man has cheated us. He told to bring the money in the liquidized cash. No checks, nothing like that. So he took me and my brother to a place where there is like office, he said. He's going to have some office work. So he just cheated me. And there was my wife and my father and mother living in the hotel room. So he went there. And Pastor Rajendra wants to call his wife without my notice. I am there somewhere else. So he takes my wife and my daughter, who is just 3 years old at that point of time. And he took them. And I was watching him. He did not come. What is not coming? 1 hour, 2 hours. Something striked on my mind. What's happening? So I have to go back again to the hotel room to check what's happening. And I've seen my wife is no more. My daughter is no more there. What happened, mommy? My mom was crying. What happened? I was thinking that they were there with you. No. So he's a liar. He's a cheater. He just cheated me. And that's like 10 million of people living in that place. Where can I find my daughter? And where can I find my wife? They can sell these people in the red alert area, and for the rest of the life, my wife and my daughter will be the prostitutes. I don't know where to search. I immediately went to the police department, and my dad was having an influence in the police department. So we talked to the police and said, we need it desperately. What can we do? Okay, we're going to give some vehicles to you. We're going to, you know, give them police people to you. You search all over the what's called Mumbai. So I started searching for my wife. Where can we search? The police people who are sitting in the car saying that, how can you get your wife? You say you're a pastor. How could you get fall in this cheating? I don't know. But they're just discouraging me, saying that you cannot find your wife or your daughter. It's useless. It's like 10 million people living in this city. You can never find your wife. I was just praying. I was just asking, yeah, tears in my eyes. Lord, I don't worry about the money. Let the money go. But give me my daughter. Give me my wife. Within 2 hours, I get a call from the police department saying that your wife and your daughter is at the restaurant. Then I run back, you know, see my daughter, see my wife, hug them, kiss them, because they were lost and they were found. And you know, and the happiness of the father is so much, you know, that you cannot explain about what has happened. Cannot explain. I can see my daughter. That's enough. Forget about the money. Let's go from here. You are there for me. I cannot forget what God has done in my life. You know, I got my daughter. You get happiness when they're lost, when they're found again. And they're dead, but they're alive again. That's what the father was saying. He's lost, but he was found. He's found again. He's dead, but he's alive. And the father is so excited. He's not worried about the smelling what he's getting from his son. He's a filthy man. He's with the pigs, but he forget about all. He's just touching his head, kissing his head, kissing his neck. Awesome father we have. 21 words. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put on him. Put the ring on the finger and the sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened cow and kill it. Let's have the feast and celebrate. This is a forgiving father. What a father we have. A great father. We have a friendly father. We have a loving father. And we have a forgiving father. Are we forgiving our children when our children messed up in our life, in their lives? We are so cruel to our children. We are so, you know, arrogant to our children. We want to make them disciplined. We want to make them all kind of rules and regulations. But where is the forgiveness? When Jesus has forgiven you and me from a wrathful and a sinful life, why can't we forgive when our children has done something wrong? What a forgiving father. What a forgiving father. Even though he has done all kind of dirty things, he lived with the prostitutes. He has expended all what he got. But even though, what a love, what a forgiveness. He forgave him. What did he do? Get the best robe. What do you mean the best robe? Get the best suit. The marriage suit, get him the best suit. Because he is my son. Give him the dignity he received. Give him the honor he has to have. He's a honored son. My God is a God who honors you, who gives you dignity. What a wonderful God. He gives you dignity. It's not because of me. I preach all over the world. Not because of me. Because of my God, I am getting the honor and dignity. I'm an unworthy person. My dear brothers and sisters, we get dignity. What a forgiving. He just forgave him. He has not even done a single work to get that reward. What did he do? Nothing. But why? That's the grace. That's the love. That's how much God loves you. That's how much God forgives you. Forgive all the past. Honors you. Give you dignity. Give you honor. Get the ring. Ring to his finger. Gives him an authority. My wife has given me a ring saying that I am your wife and you are my husband. Don't look at another woman or don't marry another woman. She has an authority in my life. Ring stands for an authority. Signet ring gives a stamp. Oh, he gave him all of the authority. God loves us so much. He gave me an authority. You know, God said he is giving you and me an authority to cast out the demons in the name of Jesus. He gave us the authority to heal the sick. He gave us the authority to do miracles in his name. What a great God we serve. He has given an authority, but we are putting our authority. The police officer get an authority. He will just stand in the traffic and just put a stop symbol like the big truck will be stopped in front of him because he has an authority to stop a vehicle. We got an authority. God has given us an authority. He has given a nice sandals. He never wore sandals. He came to his father's house without sandal. Now father give him a sandal. Why? The hired servants in the house never wore the sandals or the shoes. It is only the servants and the sons will wear the sandals or shoes. The hired servants will never wear the sandals or shoes. It's a privilege. That's the privilege which God has given us. What a honor and dignity. What a privilege. What an authority. The forgiving father is giving. One question I will ask you. He was talking to himself before he went to his father. What did he say? Let's read once again. What did he say? 18th verse. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against you and heaven. Sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Then what happened? So he got up and went to his father. He said that I'm going to tell all these things. So what did he tell his father? Did he say everything? So let's read that. The son said to him, 21st verse, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Pull it off. Why he did not talk another thing? He has to talk, you know. Make me like one of the hired servants. Did he tell that? Why? He was thinking, I'm going to tell my dad, asking forgiveness, and make me one of the hired servants. But he did not tell that to dad. Why? He did not tell his dad that make me one of the hired servants. He did not tell. He skipped off. Why? Do you know the answer? Because
is no need to say for him, because he has been already accepted as the son of his family. Praise God. Already been accepted. So there is no need for him to say again, make me one of your hired servants. So he was being accepted in the family. Bible says from John chapter 1 verse 12. Those who believe in him have a right. You know, those who believe in him, God has given a right to become the children of God. So now we are the children of God. My dear brothers and sisters, after the son has come, it was a celebration. 24. For this son of man was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. So dad is now celebrating the party. Dad is so happy. So dad is happy when you come to daddy. When you ask forgiveness from daddy. When you repent for your sins. When you be closer to your dad. Dad is so happy about that. My son was dead, now he's alive. My son was lost, now he's found. So he's happy. Let's celebrate it. But there is another son, the elder son. Let's read the elder son, what happened. Meanwhile, the elder son was in the fields. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, what was going on? Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. So what happened? The older son was in the field and he came near the house. He heard the music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what was going on. What was going on? What's going on in my house, man? What's going on? Why he has to ask the servant? This tells the elder son has no relationship with his father. Some people will be there at the home, but there will be no relationship with the father or mother. What kind of people? What kind of children? How much discouragement is there for the father? How much father hearts broke up? When you are with your father, you do not leave your father. You were with your father. This elder son was staying with his father, but have no relationship with his father. Most of the churches, most of the people, religious Christians, people think we have relationship, but rather than relationship, they have a religious life. They just come every Sunday with the Bible in the hand and pray and just say hi and say good morning and say just go out from the sanctuary. But do we have a relationship with our Father? How much Father's heart is broken down? When in your house, your wife just gives you food and you know, and say hi and bye. And you go, no hi, bye, no talking, nothing like that. How much you'll be hurted? How much you got in pain? Just imagine, this man has no relationship with the Father. Father is happy when you come back to Father. And you come back to Father, he's so happy. But you be with the Father, but no relationship with the Father, no relationship makes him heartbroken down. See, there are two children. One is rebellion, one is religious. But God is happy when you recognize that you are a sinner and you have a relationship with God and you come back and you repent for your sin, he will be a happy man. And you come back. And you come back. Are you coming back to God? One of the barbers in the saloon, he was asking, you talk about in India, you talk about Jesus Christ all the time. You say, Jesus is a good God. Jesus is a good God. Why can't, if Jesus is a good God, you know, forgive all the sinners and, you know, I mean, make the sinners right, make the people heal. Why the people so many in hospitals? Why can't your Jesus heal the people in the hospital? Why can't your Jesus heal this one? You know, he's talking all these things. So to tell him, to understand why Jesus wants to heal you, Jesus wants to save you. But the people should come to him. So in order to make him understand, the person, the pastor, was sitting in the saloon and he did not answer quickly. Then there was a man in front of the saloon walking by with a big hair, big bear beard, big mustache, and you know, he looks so ugly. And this pastor asks him, does this man belong to our community? Yes, he belongs to this community. Then the pastor immediately said, you are not a good barber. Why? If you're a good barber, this kind of people with a big mustache, big beard, with a big hair, and being like a crazy man, should live in this community? Then the barber said, it is not my fault. If that man comes to my barber shop, the saloon, and sits in my barber's chair, I'm going to give him a good cut, good craft, good, you know, shave, and I can make him a gentleman. That's right. You cannot make him a gentleman going out. But if he is going to come to your saloon, you can make him a gentleman. The same way, any sick person, any sinful person, any person outside the family, come to Jesus and God can make him a wonderful man, and God can save his soul, and God can heal his body if you're going to come to Jesus. That's what this man has done. The younger boy, the younger son has come to Jesus and he was made a wonderful man. But even though the elder son was with his father, he was so having no relationship with his father. What happened? He's so angry. What did he say? The older brother became angry and refused to go. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I have been slaving for you and you never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. What he's saying? This older brother was angry. Most of the people, you know, they think that we are in the church. They think that we are Christians. They think that we are godly people. But where is the love and compassion which his father had? His father was having a compassion and a love to his younger son. But where is the compassion shown by the elder brother to his younger brother? When his younger brother comes to the family, where is that love which his father is having? Where is the compassion when the church doesn't have that compassion and the love towards the sinful people outside the church? We cannot get souls for the kingdom of God. Everyone's burden for the perishing souls who's dying every day. You know how many die every minute? You know how many die every second? When you have a compassion, where is that compassion for the elder son, elder brother? For the younger brother. When the younger brother comes, you know, the elder brother will be so happy. Oh, my younger brother. Did he talk like that? The father was running and throwing the arms and kissing him. At the same time, the elder brother is so angry. When we are so angry with the sinners, no compassion, want to have a fellowship, no forgiveness in our hearts. When his father can forgive his son, the elder brother cannot forgive his younger brother. What kind of relationship is having? No forgiveness. Some are so hardened in their hearts, they don't want to forgive a Christian brother. They don't want to forgive their own brothers, their own sisters. What kind of relationship is that? Let's have a forgiving nature instead of complaining. Have a joy instead of angriness. Where is the joy which God has given you?
There is no joy in this elder brother. These are the religious Christians. And God is unhappy. Our Father is unhappy when you live a religious life rather than having a relationship with Jesus. You don't have a relationship rather than relationship. Having a religious life doesn't make your Father happy. On this Father's occasion, on this day, Father's Day, let's dedicate our life thinking, you know, sorry Father, Heavenly Father, I have really disobeyed you. Can we confess that? Can we come to our Father? I'm angry towards my fellow brother. I don't have a joy. I don't have a real happiness. When the whole family is celebrating, with the lost son has come, where is the celebration? Where you don't want to be the part of the celebration. He don't want to come inside. He don't want to have a part in that. He just want to, you know, be angry. God has saved us. He has given an inexpressible joy. That's what the salvation, when you get the salvation, real salvation gives you inexpressible joy. 1 Peter 1, 8 and 9 says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end of result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And when you're saved, you know, you get an inexpressible joy. But where is the joy in the elder son? Is he saved? Is he really making God happy? Is he really making his father happy? There is no joy. Some Christians are very, very stiff and stubborn. They don't want to laugh also. They don't want to greet. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. So stiff and so stubborn. Where is the love for the people? Where is the love for your brother? Where is the love for the lost brother and sister in the Christ? When we love and show to the neighborhood, I believe that within few weeks, this church will be jam-packed with people when we can show that kind of love and compassion to the people around us. The real joy. He hated his brother. He was so jealous. He don't want to be in the part of the celebration. Even though his father has forgiven his sins, this man, he's just pointing out his sins again. In the 30th verse, he says, but when this son of yours have squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home. So he's just, you know, referring the things what he has done. Already this son has been forgiven. But you just point out someone and talk about the things what they have done in the past. That really hurts their feelings. That really hurts your Heavenly Father. Because your sins are being forgiven. God has forgiven you. Who are you to talk about those things again? He lived with the prostitutes. He wanted to just again bring back the story again. Complaining, grumbling, murmuring, instead of honoring the Father, instead of glorifying the Father, instead of praising the Father, is disrespecting the Father. You know what did he say? He is talking to his father. And how did he talk? He is talking to his father saying that, you know, look. What kind of that? But he answered his father, look. All these years I have been slaving for you. Look. Not even father. Hey, look, buddy. He is talking to his father. Look. The prodigal son is talking to his father. Father, forgive me, I have sinned against you and Heavenly Father. He's talking about Father. He's talking Father. But this man, look, no respect has been given. Are we respecting the reverence of the God? Jesus said, you know, in 1 Samuel 2:30, but now the Lord declares, for be it for me, those who honor me, I will honor. But those who despise me will be disdained. You honor me, I'm going to honor you. This man disrespected his father too. He was insulting his brother. He was finding fault in his brother. He was talking boastfully and pridefully about himself, saying that I was so obedient to you. Some people will say like that every time, you know, I am so prayerful. I fast for 2 days a week. I do every time faithfully. I give my tithes. That is boastfulness. Let's examine ourselves in the light of the Lord. Are we really loving the true love towards our sinners, towards the brothers, towards the fellow brothers and sisters? Let's pray, ask God, Lord, help me to become a true father, a perfect father, a compassionate father, a loving father, a friendly father to my children, a forgiving father to my children. Help me to become a great father so that one day, even though I leave this world, my children can say about me that I have a great father like me. Now I'm saying about my dad. My dad is no more in this earth, but I can say my dad is a great daddy. That's what we can, you know, give to our children. One day we're going to leave this world, but our children should say, oh, my dad is so great. My dad was so compassionate. My dad is so forgiving. My dad forgave me. My dad loved me so much. My dad is, you know, so friendly. He's like a friend. Can we be a good example to our children? And finally, before I close, let's be a father to the people who do not have father. Jesus is talking in Psalm 68. That he is a father to the fatherless. So God is a father to the fatherless. Can we help the orphans in India who don't have anything to eat, who don't have anything to drink, who don't have anything to cover? They're scared. They're exposed. They're naked. They go hungry stomachs every day. Can you make an impact being a good father to the fatherless too, as our God is a father to the fatherless? Can you make an impact in the children's life? By at least, as Pastor Jamie was saying, at least a $20 or $10 a month or a $50 as you want to give to God, as you want to help the poor. Because when you help the poor, when you help the needy, you're helping God. You're lending to God. Let's do something to impact these children's life. Many of the girl children in India are being human trafficking. Because the girls are very burden for India. Because most of the women, when they have the girl children in the belly of the stomach, you know, when they're pregnant, they kill the babies in the stomach by going to abortions. Why? They don't want the girls to come to this world. Because girls have to give a dowry called, you know, money to get a groom. Because there are arranged marriages. Arranged marriages, parents to look after, to look for a groom, and they have to pay him money. Even though they are in the slums also, in the poorest of the poor, they have to give money to get a groom for their daughter. So most of the children, if they're born girls, the desperate situation. Some people will take advantage and say that, oh, you have 4 children. Why can't you send one of the children to the big city like Mumbai, metropolitan cities, you know, so that she can work and send you some money. They just take an advantage. They take the child and sell it to a red alert area. And the father and the mother will be not knowing about her daughter. And the daughter will be not knowing about the father and mother. Because they've been sold off there. And the rest of the life, she'll be the prostitute. That's a critical condition. And most of the people who live in the slums on the streets, you know, they take them, they bring them. The land, these are called mafia dons. These mafia dons are playing with the young children. And they make them to beg on the streets to get money for them.
If they're not getting more money, they cut out their hand. They're not going to give the food. They're going to take out the eyeball. They're going to cut out the leg, you know, and they're going to on the streets for begging so that the people will have a compassion to give more money so that they get more money. That's our critical condition at present. Why can't we make a difference one at a time? I cannot change the whole India of 20 million of orphans. But one at a time, can we can make a difference by your wonderful prayers and a strong prayers and your strong support that we can enable to take care of these children. Let us be a father to the fatherless. Let's examine ourselves. Some fathers are there, but they're not good examples. I have in my orphanage, one child is talking to me saying that, Daddy, he calls me Daddy. I don't believe in any man. Because my mother was showing me, this is your father, this is your father, this is your father. Her mother was a prostitute. Her mother is talking, this is your father, this is your father, so that she can get money, she can get, you know, some, you know, clothes for this daughter. Tell him Daddy, call him Daddy, call him Daddy. Forcibly, this girl is calling her Daddy. One day, you know, my daddy has raped me. Took away all my clothes. Raped me. She was telling and crying like anything. But you are the only dad I've seen that taking care of me and giving me good food to eat, good bed to sleep, and a nice clothes to wear, and sending me to this good school. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you very much. Own fathers raping their own children. What kind of community, what kind of atmosphere we are. You know the famous speaker, you know the television speaker, Joyce Meyer. But you know her story? You know her story? She was raped by her father. By the age she got 18, she was raped 200 times by her father. By the age she got 18. What kind of fathers? He used to take him to the room, the bedroom where he used to have sex with his wife, and he want his daughter to see, and how do you feel about it? He used to ask her about that. What kind of dirt? He used to touch her wherever he want. Praise God. Now that lady become a wonderful woman of God. God is true, a living God that can change lives and make you a wonderful people. We can make a difference in this kind of children's life. One father wanted to just kill her daughter. He took her to a big dam and he said, I love you, daughter. And because this daughter is an obstruction for him to get married again, it seems. So that's the reason he took her to the dam and he wanted to just push her in the dam to kill her. But she ran away and she got a bus and she came to her grandmother. And her grandmother brought me to the orphanage and now she's living with me for the last 6 years. Her name is Akila. What a beautiful girl. My father, own father want to kill me. The other girl said, my own father want to rape me. The other girl is there, she's a Muslim girl. The own father want to sell her into a red alert area. He already sold his newborn baby. He's just a 3 months old baby. He sold out for $50. And these children are living with the grandmother. And the grandmother brings these children saying that these two children, one is boy and one is girl. You want, please take these children to the orphanage. Because if they're going to live with me also, one day he's going to pick her up and sell it to the red alert area so that he can get more money by selling her into the prostitution. Now she's living with me in the orphanage for the last 6 years. Her name is Hasina, Muslim name. She's a Muslim family. What kind of fathers in the society we are seeing? Let us trace and be an show, get an example from our Heavenly Father, a Father of love, a Father of forgiveness, a Father, a great Father we have, a friendly Father we have, a lovely Father, a loving Father we have, a forgiving Father, an awesome Father, wonderful Father, a perfect Father. I ask you to please stand up on your feet and just pray. Ask you to please pray and ask God, Lord, thank you for talking to me, Lord. I just want to be an example to my children. I want to make you happy, Lord. Though the two children, one is rebellion, one is religious, those two children cannot make you happy unless they repent, unless they come, unless they have a relationship with you. The one younger son want to have a relationship with you. He want to ask forgiveness from you. He want to repent for his sins. Though he was once upon a time a rebellious son, but he comes back and he makes you happy, Lord. Let's make you happy, Lord. Sorry for the life what we have lived so far. Sorry for the life we are living as a religious life. Even Nicodemus was a religious man, but he will not go to heaven. You said to him, unless you're born again, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. Even though he's a Pharisee, even though he's a religious man, even though he knows the scriptures, that doesn't allow him to go to heaven. Sorry, Lord, we were thinking that we come to church, we are Christians, we can go to heaven. But since we don't have a relationship with you, love, no love to our fellow brother and sister, no love to the people around us. Oh Lord, forgive us, Lord. No compassion. Even dishonoring you, no respect to you. Instead of glorifying you, honoring you, adoring you, disrespected you, Lord. We have disrespected you. Sorry for that. We complained to you. We are grumbling against you. Oh Lord, sorry for that, Lord.